Well, of course, we found the favorite amongst the Heels and Quads Wrestling Podcast fans, and that is GoGreenHemp.com. That's right, CBD hemp products. Tommy and I both use them daily to get through our days, get to sleep, get awake, you name it, whatever. We use it for everything. And at GoGreenHemp.com, we have a special offer for you. We all know hemp can be quite expensive depending on where you go, but GoGreenHemp.com is pretty affordable, especially when you slap on that coupon code at the end, Heels and Quads, in all caps at checkout. That saves you 15% on your order. 15%, that's a lot off some good hemp. So check this out. They have balms, bath bombs, beauty products, edible gummies, gel capsules, tinctures, animal products, pre-filled cartridges, and even wax crumble. You gotta go to GoGreenHemp.com and use that coupon code Heels and Quads in all caps at checkout to save 15% on your order. You won't get a better deal on hemp, I can promise you that. That's GoGreenHemp.com, coupon code Heels and Quads in all caps at checkout.
Welcome back to another arousing edition of Out of the Bullpen Podcast. I'm your co-host, Tommy, at Mr. Tommy Walter on Twitter.
And I'm his co-host, Josh Wilburn, at Mr. 30-something on Twitter.
We're running a two-man team today because Robert Bunny Lemons is out of pocket. So it's just us today.
Yeah, he's out adulting, doing adult things.
Yeah, doing stuff like going to the bank and
picking his dog and
paying bills and
picking his dog up and shit.
So let's just jump right into it, okay? This past week in Yankees baseball has been it's had its ups and downs. I'm not gonna completely shit on them, but they deserve a little shitting. So since Didi has been back last Friday, we've lost 2 out of 3 to the Indians. We lost 2 out of 3 to the Blue Jays, and we split a 2-game set with the Mets.
The fucking Mets.
Do you think, like I was thinking about this today, do you think that Didi coming back and getting back into the lineup, granted, he's been great, but do you think him getting back into the lineup has kind of, like we've talked about before, has it affected these young kids' mindsets as far as going into a game?
I mean, maybe a little bit, but I mean, I feel like Gio is still hitting and everyone is still pretty much hitting the same way they were before he got back.
I just feel like maybe it's gotten into their heads. They're starting to see guys coming back because Judge and Stanton are supposed to be back, maybe even the next homestand. So
yeah. I'm sure he probably plays a little role into it, but I don't know how much.
There was a couple of plays defensively last night that just didn't seem like the way we had been playing.
Yeah, they were a bunch yesterday afternoon. They were a ton of errors in that game.
Yeah, Gio had one. Didi had one.
Morales had two,
I don't really think that Didi's was warranted because I think that actually should have went to Morales personally because they called it a throwing error. But yeah. I don't know. I think if Voit would have been playing first, he could have scooped that.
Yeah, so I think I agree with you there. But he had 3 fucking hits.
Yeah. So he had 3 hits. So, I mean, including the first run, he knocked the first run in yesterday afternoon, which kind of got the ball rolling for us. But
what is even life when he's our offense? That is strange.
He was predominantly a third baseman, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Because
which is strange.
He just seems to be out of place. Like yesterday afternoon when he was playing first, he just seemed really out of place.
Yeah, if they're going to play him, I wish they would just DH him so he doesn't actually have to play defense.
He doesn't have the proper mobility, I think, to be an infielder.
Yeah, he's got to be the slowest runner on the team.
He's the slowest runner I've seen on our team since Jose Molina.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, no doubt.
The chubby panda. So I know you wanted to talk about Gary Sanchez and his hitting clinic he's been putting on this year.
Yeah, El Kraken's been on one. I mean, he's potentially the first catcher since Javi Lopez that might beat or come close to beating Johnny Bench's all-time record of 45 home runs for a catcher.
And you sent the stat to me. Most ever by a catcher at the All-Star break is 28. Right. Do you remember who that was by?
I want to say it was either Javi Lopez or Mike Piazza.
It might have been Piazza. That sounds about right. I think I remember that as a kid.
Yeah, he was like the first great hitting catcher that I can remember growing up.
When he played for the Dodgers, especially, like, I mean, he was still decent with the Mets, but I mean, he was a fierce force to be reckoned with when he was with the Dodgers.
Yeah, he was. He was. I mean, he had. I mean, back then, it doesn't sound like much now, but I think every season he had, from looking at stat up, he had like 36, 36, 38, 40, 42 home runs about every season.
What was it, 36, 36, and 38?
Yeah, and then he had 40 and like 42 one year.
Wow. Was that all with the Dodgers or was that with the Mets as well?
Probably both. I don't remember the actual years, but just about every season he played, he had 30-plus home runs.
Yeah, that's true. And you said, do you think that Gary Sanchez can beat that? How long – when is the All-Star break? July?
It's over the 4th of July week, right after that. So like
July 9th is the All-Star game.
Yeah.
So he's got –
roughly a month, a few days less. Today's the 12th, so he's got 28 days.
He's got 23 games starting tomorrow. 23 games to hit 8 home runs. The way he is, if he gets hot, absolutely. No question about it. He can beat that. No problem.
Yeah.
I'm going to say he'll hit 27 by the All-Star break.
That's not bad. I feel like my head says he'll hit about like 25 to 26. Yeah. But I really want to say he'll hit like 31 and just go
on a fucking tear. Yeah, that would be nice. That would be ideal. Now, if that happens, great. If not, even if he hits, you know, like you said, 25, that's still a good first half, and he didn't exactly play in every game. So, because he was gone, he's gone for what, 10 or 12 days? 10. It was just 10. Okay.
Yeah. He's already beat. They were saying last night during the game. In I think this is the 46th or 47th game he's played in. He's already beat his home run record or his home run number total for all of last year in 47 games.
And then he was only up for a short amount of time in 2016, but he hit 20 at the back end of that. So
he was on a fucking tear that year.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think he has just as good of a chance as anybody. Well, actually better because he's the best hitting catcher we've seen in a long time.
Probably since Javi Lopez.
And not to take anything away from Posada, he was great, but you know, you get 20, 25 maybe out of him a year, but you're not gonna get 40 plus, you know. So
right. Oh yeah. Plus I was also thinking that if Stanton and Judge are back next week, that should help Sanchez out because he should get better pitching because they're gonna
avoid them because they're fresh. Yeah. But, 45 is the record by Johnny Bench and 70. I could see at this point in the year, I'm going to say that Sanchez will break the record. I think it's going to be close, though. I'd say 47, 48 home runs. I don't think he'll hit 50 because I can see him going down again, you know, after the All-Star break. For probably a short amount of time, because just catchers, the wear and tear you have on that position, it's gonna take its toll on him. So,
I wish we had a. I mean, nothing against Roman; he's a great catcher, but I wish we had another catcher that had a better bat. So when Gary does get days off, it isn't so like shitty because we go from like the best hitter on the team to like the worst hitter on the team. And
but I mean, you know, Romine had a game where he got that walk off hit. So I mean, it's
It's
all about, you know, when he gets his spots and he has his days, but I don't know, man. I'm with you there. We definitely need we've wasted enough time on Romine, is what I'm saying. There were times where they thought he was going to come up and be the number one.
I mean, he's great defensively. I mean, he looked even better last year. But Gary has stepped up so much this year with his blocking the plate, blocking wild pitches, and
even since the beginning of the year, I mean, he's 10 times better than he was at the start of the season.
Yeah, oh yeah, you can definitely tell he busted his ass in the offseason to work on his defense.
Let's see here. I'm looking to see if there's any good stories going on in baseball. We didn't exactly prep this week, so we're just winging it.
Yeah, we're just winging this. The biggest news story is all about Kevin Durant. I know that's basketball, but that's the biggest news story. That's all over everything.
Here, this is from MLB.com. 10 players whose stock is on the rise at the trade deadline.
Ooh.
This should be good. Our old friend, Melky Cabrera, who is with the Pirates right now, they're saying his potential fits could be the Indians and Athletics.
I can see the Athletics, but I don't see the Indians being a contender.
No. They're saying here he can play either corner spot, obviously. Yeah, there's no way he can play center field anymore. And he's only earning $1.15 million this season with a chance to add $850,000 in incentives. So even if you pick that contract up, that's not a huge hit on any team.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And he can still hit.
Yeah.
Jake Diekman from the left-handed pitcher from the Royals. They're saying here potential fits would be the Dodgers, Brewers, Braves, or Phillies. So obviously you want to keep him in the NL. He's earning $2.25 million this season and has a mutual 2020 option for $5.75 million. That might scare some people. With a $500,000 buyout.
Interesting.
He's 32, and it says here he's pitching better than his 4.10 ERA would indicate. He has an impressive strikeout rate of 13.3 per nine innings. Not bad.
That's not bad.
Something nice out of the bullpen. Not that we need it, but
yeah, I can definitely see the Braves going for him,
especially after signing Dallas Keuchel. And then now they can help out their bullpen.
Over $1 million fucking dollars.
I don't know, man.
Brian, Cashman better have a fucking plan.
I wouldn't turn down the Yankees over $1 million, that's for sure.
I wouldn't either. But hopefully Cashman's got a fucking plan in this mess.
I don't think Cashman ever has a plan.
Yeah, I don't think he does either. I think he just hears shit and he jumps in and just.
I think he does like the fans do. He just reads and listens and watches and just goes with it.
He's on Twitter scrolling.
Yeah. He hashtags Yankees Twitter and just scrolls through it and see what we think. Maybe he listens to the podcast.
That would be great.
We're available, Cashman.
Yeah, yeah. You should come on.
I would love to be a special advisor to the Yankees.
Me too. We can help. We can help get 28 this
year.
I'll
do it for 150K.
I'll do it for 125.
I'll do it for 110. All right. Let's not lower our worth. Derek Dietrich, infielder, outfielder from the Reds, potential fits the Rangers and the Indians. He's having a breakout year, surpassing his career high with 17 home runs in 61 games. Hey, that's not too fucking shabby. He was signed by the Reds on a minor league deal. Obviously, he's with the big club, if you want to call the Reds a big club these days. He's making $2 million this season. they're saying he's a bargain, and he's got versatility in the field, obviously, since he can play infield and outfield. He's played games at first, second, and left field this year.
Damn.
That's something to look at.
So this Rotter obviously must think that the Indians are going to be contenders with the Twins.
I would think so, apparently. Or, you know, that probably that second wild card spot. It's Mark Feinsand. Let's see what this, which he does. He covers a lot of the Yankees stuff, so.
Yeah. I mean, I know they beat us 2 out of 3, but they didn't look that impressive to me.
I can see the Rangers, man. The Rangers could move, wheel and deal a little bit because they're kind of hitting a hot streak right now. They're holding that second wild card spot right now at 36-30.
Yeah, that's not shabby.
And they've got money down there in Texas, so.
Oh, they got lots of money.
Here's another name, also a potential fit for the Rangers and the Astros, so obviously they want him in Texas. Edwin Encarnacion.
He seems like every year he just goes to a playoff contender for that World Series push.
I've always loved watching him play.
Yeah, he's got a great swing.
He's got a great swing, and he plays with a lot of intensity. Here's the thing that gets me is he's 36 years old. I didn't realize he was that old.
I didn't either. I thought he was probably early 30s.
So he still do the prorated portion of his $20 million salary, not to mention $20 million option for 2020 or a $5 million buyout. So Seattle would likely need to pay some of that down in order to get any kind of decent return for Encarnacion.
That's crazy. Remember when they were 15 and 8?
Yeah. I guess he's on the road to his 400th home run because that's one of the highlights he has here.
Huh. I didn't realize he had that many home runs.
Well, next up is Howie Kendrick from the Nationals. They have him, potential fits, Rays and Athletics. Now, with the Rays being so close on our ass, though, I could see them making a small move like a Howie Kendrick.
Oh, yeah. I can see them going for somebody, too. Yeah.
Because he's only making $4 million this season. Next year, he'd be making $7 million. Or $3 million, I'm sorry, because it's a $7 million two-year deal. And the Nationals are out, basically. I could see him fitting with the Rays. They've got him at the Rays and the Athletics. So obviously, he thinks that the Athletics are going to get somebody to make a push.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can see him doing that. They went crazy last year after the All Star, right?
Tanner Roark from the Reds, right-handed pitcher, potential fits the Cardinals and the Rays. I could see the Cardinals going after him because they need some bullpen help.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Let's see. Max Scherzer, obviously, we're in the running for him. Also, the Padres. Man, I didn't even think about the Padres possibly looking at somebody with all the money they've spent already this year.
Yeah, I didn't think about that either. I guess they still have more salary cap room. After Machado,
I guess so. I figured
he's having a very underwhelming year. He's only got like 10.
Yeah, he's probably making three times as much as anybody else, if not more, on that team.
Yeah, that's crazy that he's.
Let's see here.
Mental.
Scherzer is owed $35 million a year through 2021. A lot of it is deferred money, though, but teams might be willing to take the risk hoping for a Justin Verlander to Houston-type result. I'm pretty sure we said that last year. Or last week, I mean, not last year.
Yeah.
I still see the Yankees either going after him or
I've heard a lot of talk.
Who else did you say last week? Yeah,
Madison Baumgartner and Marcus
Stroman. Yeah, Stroman. That was the other one I've heard a lot this week. I don't think there's any doubt that the Yankees are going to try to get a starter.
I think at this point we need two starters.
Yeah, because I think CeCe's pretty much done.
Yeah, and Jermaine's hip, you never fucking know what's with him.
Will Smith, left-handed pitcher from the Giants, not the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. he makes $4.225 million and will be a free agent at the end of the year. So it could be a short-term, kind of risk-free signing for somebody or trade. Potential fits, right. Red Sox, Twins, Braves, Phillies. I'm sure that Robert would love to have him on his team because he's posting a 2.10 ERA with 15 saves in 26 games. And he turns 30 on July 10th. So he's hitting the prime of his career.
But can the Red Sox afford anybody?
Yeah, probably not. And who do they have to trade? It says here he could be one of the more popular names of the trade season. Obviously, we wouldn't be interested because we don't need anybody in the bullpen. Yeah. Justin Smock or Smoke.
Smoke. Yeah.
I said Smock because that's like the vape company. That's how they pronounce it and how they spell it. Potential fits, the Astros and the Red Sox. I think the Astros would be more likely to go after him than the Red Sox because, like you said, the Red Sox really don't have a ton of money. And he's making $8 million this season, and he'll be a free agent next year.
I just don't see how the Red Sox can really improve much because, I mean, they don't have that many trade pieces.
I mean, he's 32, so, I mean, and he's been hot and cold. But he is good defensively.
Yeah.
Next up, Kirby Yates, right-handed pitcher from the Padres. He has a 0.96 ERA with 23 saves and a 15.4 strikeout per nine. But his salary is just north of $3 million. Wow. Hmm. That's fucking impressive.
Yeah, it is impressive. Get on it, Cashman.
Somebody's going to have to be the apprentice for a Raldi's spot here pretty soon because he has not pitched as well as I've wanted him to this year.
That's for sure.
Let's see what else we got here. That was all of that. Corey Seager strains his hamstring, could miss 4 to 6 weeks. That sucks for the Dodgers.
That's gonna hurt. That's gonna hurt them.
Let's see here. What is this? Hunter Pence rounds the bases as ball just sits there. What the fuck? Oh, man. Kimbrel signs with the Cubs, obviously. We didn't talk about that, but we all knew it was coming.
It's a good signing for the Cubs.
Let's see here. This is injury updates. So last night, Stanton went 2-for-4 with an opposite field home run for Class A Advanced Tampa, the Tarpoons, or Tarpons, or Tampons, if you will. he's scheduled to play 7 innings in right field on Wednesday, then would be promoted to join Triple A for their weekend series at Durham.
Well, that's good. Hopefully he doesn't get hurt no more. And he comes
That puts him on pace with what they said last night about him coming back possibly for the next homestand.
Yeah, because we need him for the next homestand. Those are big games with the Rays and Astros.
More surprising is the news that Judge could be ready to suit up for the Rail Riders as soon as this weekend. Out since April 20th due to a left oblique strain. Blah, blah, blah. Judge has been working in Tampa, blah, 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 fielding drills. Let's see. As of Monday afternoon, Judge had not faced a pitcher since landing on the injured list, though Aaron Boone suggested that Judge could be playing in games by the weekend. The big news in our injury field of dreams is Dellin Betances, who is now shut down for a few weeks due to a low-grade strain of his right latissimus dorsi muscle. Wow, I never thought I'd ever say latissimus.
I didn't either. But I feel like at this point, you kind of just – I mean, I know that just – I don't think he's going to pitch this season.
That's what I'm thinking at this point. You're better off just shutting him down for the year and facing it.
Yeah, go pick up one of these pieces to take his spot in the bullpen. Yep.
Or find another. Or just run with what we've got now. You know, I mean. Our bullpen isn't exactly our problem. Hey, and I just want to take a second and fucking shout out Chance Adams last night, who threw fucking like five innings, came up that day to be the 26th man and pitches five innings, like just to, in a blowout game.
Yeah.
And didn't exactly, I mean, he didn't pitch great, but he pitched better than anybody else in our bullpen would have in that situation. So,
he pitched better than fucking Paxton.
What the fuck was up with that?
I think he's still injured. Yeah. I really do.
Yeah. He's just trying to play to play.
Yeah. Cause I was reading a stat this morning that was saying that like the velocity on his fastball last night didn't get no higher than 94 when he's usually in the 96 to 97 range.
Jose Altuve and George Springer. Altuve's been out since May 10th with a left hamstring strain. That's a lot of S's. He will go to minor league rehab this weekend. This will be the second rehab stint. Blah, blah, blah. Ran bases at full speed prior to Tuesday's game. He'll play this weekend for AAA Round Rock. Altuve will need multiple rehab games considering how long he's been out of action. So I'm thinking probably by the end of next week, Altuve will be back for the Astros.
I hope he's not back by the time we play him next
week.
Yeah,
oh yeah, yeah. Wait until after we play. I wanna play the depleted Astros that can still fucking get the shit out of teams.
Yeah, because apparently that's the only time we play them all year, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the last time because we only play them twice. We've already played them at Houston, so now we're playing them in New York.
Yeah, it would be really nice to get those three wins, if at all possible.
Yeah, and then George Springer, been out since May 24th, left hamstring strain. He's behind Altuve. He's looking he took full batting practice yesterday. Will continue to run over the next couple of days. The Astros are off on Thursday, but Springer will be at the ballpark working out. So I don't think we have to worry about George Springer next weekend.
That's good.
Yeah.
Hopefully not Altuve either.
Our buddy Robinson Cano went 3-for-3 last night for Triple H Syracuse, highlighting a trio of rehabbing Mets in the game. He had a left quad strain, played five innings at second base. Okay, so he looks like he's on his way back. I'm scrolling through here for the bigger names now. Joey Gallo. Gallo is making steps in his rehab process. On Tuesday, the outfielder took swings off a tee for the first time since he was placed on the 10-day injured list with a strained oblique on June 2nd. Gallo was removed from a plate appearance on June 1st against the Astros.
Is it just me, or does it seem like this season they're more like hamstring and oblique?
Very, very minor but nagging fucking injuries. Lots of quads, lots of obliques. Yeah, lots of hamstrings, stuff like that.
Like, are they not stretching good enough before games?
That's what I was saying earlier on in the, you know, the last couple of weeks with the conditioning and spring training. Are they overdoing it, or are they not doing enough?
I don't know, but it just seems like those are the most common injuries anymore.
Because you can pull a fucking hamstring just stretching too much.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's see here. Any other? Evaldi supposed to go on rehab assignment this week, but those plans have been delayed by a bout with bicep tendonitis. Ooh, that sucks.
Yeah, that don't sound very good.
Yeah, that's not sounding good for him or the Red Sox or Robert. Damn, that sucks. Speaking of the Red Sox, I just wanted to take a second to send our best wishes to Big Poppy.
Yeah, that was horrible.
I rag on him a lot, and I have the whole time he was with the Red Sox, but, you know, he's not a threat to us anymore. But not just that, I'm sure he's a good human being behind the scenes. I mean, I've seen videos with him with, like, sick kids and shit like that. Nobody deserves to have their house fucking robbed and get shot for something so fucking stupid.
Yeah, that was horrible. Did you see the video of it?
I didn't see that. I didn't want to watch it. I'm really cringy when it comes to stuff like that.
It's crazy. I mean, he's lucky to be alive. He's lucky, like, how he didn't get killed at that close of range. How he didn't get,
crazy. Where did he get shot at?
Somewhere in
On his body. Where did he get shot at?
Oh, his right side.
Oh, shit.
Like, from, like, 10 foot away.
Oh, man.
That's how I said, that's why, like, in the video, how he didn't take a headshot or get killed. It's a God's miracle that he didn't have that close of range.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's a shame. And, you know, as a human, you know, my heart goes out to him and his family because nobody deserves that.
Yeah, man, they beat the ever living fuck out of the dude that did it. I was watching videos of that shit. I think it was Sunday night when it happened, I believe. They were all kinds of videos that people were tweeting about the shooter and how the people there had like found him and they were like beating him in the streets.
Holy shit.
It's fucking wild.
He's a hero there, so I'm sure like the police weren't really holding people back from beating the dude.
Yeah, it's wild, man. That just shows you how shit it goes in other countries.
So, here's another fun story. Mariano Rivera coming to Old Timers Day.
Mo.
Here's a list. By the way, Old Timers Day is
June 23rd.
It will be against the game is against the Astros. Fans are asked to take their seats at 11:30 a.m. Eastern time for the induction or the introductions and the Old Timers game. All the pre-game celebrations will be aired exclusively on YES.
Yes.
The Yankees will then
not pick 11.
But for those of us with MLB TV, we will not get to watch this, which really sucks. Bullshit. I hate it. I miss having YES. And the game starts at 2:05. Here's a full list of those scheduled to attend. Jesse Barfield, Aaron Boone, Scott Bradley, Dr. Bobby Brown, Homer Bush, Chris Chambliss, David Cone, Johnny Damon, Bucky fucking Dent, Al Downing, Brian Doyle, John Flaherty, Whitey Ford, Jason Giambi. Ooh. Will he have his gold thong? That's the real question, folks. Jason Grimsley, Ron Guidry, Gator. Jerry Hairston Jr. making his Old Timers debut. Charlie Hayes, Helen Hunter, Reggie Jackson, Scott Kamenicki. I don't recognize that name. Don Larson, Graham Lloyd, Hector Lopez, Joe Martin, Tino Martinez, Lee Mazzilli, Ramiro Mendoza, Gene Monahan, of course, Diana Munson, obviously there to represent the captain, Thurman Munson, Kay Mercer, therefore Bobby Mercer, Jeff Nelson, Paul O'Neill, Joe Pepitone, always a crowd pleaser, Lou Piniella, Willie Randolph, Mo, Mickey Rivers, Luis Soho, Gene Stoudemire there for Mel, Marcus Timms, David Wells, and Bernie Williams. So that's a pretty stacked roster.
It is,
and I'm glad that we'll get to see Johnny do some magic like he did at the CC game.
Yeah, he still got his strut down. Look like.
So we got to find a stream of that somewhere. Those of us without the S network. Cause I gotta see that shit.
I bet Giambi can still put one out too.
Oh yeah, especially if he's wearing that gold thong. I'm expecting like Giambi with the Fu Manchu. Remember that run in like what was it 2006, 2007 when they all had the Fu Manchu?
Yeah.
Sal Fasano came over.
Oh yeah, I
loved that shit. Let's see. Oh, Luke Voit, home run derby.
I hope he does it. I hope he fucking kills it.
He wants to be in it, so now he's just waiting for his invite.
How does that actually work? And I know, like, for the NBA slam dunk contest, you just tell them you're going to do it, and you do it. Like, how does the MLB decide? Is there, like, some kind of...
I'm sure there's some kind of committee that they have to answer to, maybe with the Players Association and the actual... organization. Maybe you have to like kind of talk to your team about it, assuming maybe Aaron Boone might have his hand in it and Cashman, just kind of because there's so much shit that can happen and that kind of stuff, it fucks up their swing. That's why a lot of people don't like to do it, is because they say it messes with their swing for the second half of the year. So I would think it's based on the excitement and how many people will watch more than anything. And with him being a Yankee, obviously, I think they want that team represented as often as possible. And obviously, yeah. Judge isn't going to do it, so.
Poor Stan. Yeah.
I mean, I think it would be fun. I think Luke Voit's getting a pretty big following behind him.
Oh, yeah, he's becoming one of the most beloved Yankees.
He reminds me a lot. His following reminds me a lot of Nick Swisher when he came over. Swish had a big following. Same with Johnny Damon. It was just that, you know, kind of you don't expect them to be this way, but they are kind of thing.
And the girls love him.
Obviously. Old Nicky over on the Twitter DMs in the group chat. She never gets a shout out on here, so shout out to Nikki.
Yeah, shout out to Nikki.
Let's see. We signed Volpe, which is surprising considering he committed to Vanderbilt. But
well, like you said, though, he has always been, you know, a Yankees fan. He was kind of like me, grew up idolizing Jeter.
I think he said that was the only reason he wouldn't go to college was to play for the Yankees.
Yeah.
Did you see this shit? And I retweeted it and commented on it, but was Jay-Z the real captain of the 2009 Yankees? Are you fucking kidding me?
I didn't see that. But
to have the fucking balls to even put that out on MLB.com.
Why would anybody even think
this,
that?
This is the man who took Robinson Cano from his home and misplaced him in Seattle. This is the man who, quote-unquote, is a giant Yankee fan, but let one of our best players go somewhere else.
Yeah, just because he wears a fucking Yankees hat in a couple of videos does not make him a captain nor a Yankees fan.
Like, I wear a Yankees hat everywhere I go. That doesn't make me a captain. And trust me, I have 2009. I think I have more to do with it than Jay-Z did because I was there for spring training. I told Joe Girardi if they didn't win the fucking series this year, I was becoming a Mets fan. The entire catchers and pitchers warming up and over there, they were dying laughing. And guess what happened? We won the fucking series. So you guys can thank me for 2009. And if you want to pay for my trip to go to spring training next year, if we don't win it this year, you can PayPal me, TommyWalterLive@yahoo.com.
Hey, we should go to spring training next year and get some awesome.
That would be really fun. That'd be the place to do it too. If I can swing it, I'll definitely do it.
Not a bad idea. Good thought. Go buy some merch so we can go to spring training.
Go to our Twitter page. It's pinned there on the Twitter page. Let's see. That's really it. There's really not a lot going on. We've talked about all the big stories.
Yeah, it's been kind of luckily nobody's got hurt this week. Well, at least for the Yankees, I mean. But, which is
good. And we have an off day today, so we don't have a game to talk about tonight.
Yeah, then we got four with the White
Sox. Four with the White Sox, and then we go back home to play Tampa, Houston, and Toronto. No days off in this whole stretch. This is our last day off till the 27th.
So we got, what is that, like nine, 14 games
straight? Yeah, 14 straight without a day off. So this is a good stretch to make or break. The biggest stretch we have of the year, I believe, is coming in July, the 12th to the 28th, without a day off.
Well, hopefully we can win at least 9 of those games, like 9 of 14.
Ooh, we got a couple of big stretches in August 2nd to the 18th. Damn.
Yeah. Plus we got that big London series coming up in what, 2 weeks?
Yep, 2 weeks. Yeah, because we'll get 2 days off for travel, and the first game is on Saturday, the 29th. And then Sunday, the 30th. The 30th game is on at 9:10 a.m. Central Time. So that's an early Sunday wake up. It will be on ESPN.
Okay, I was gonna say, is JS Carvin or ESPN?
ESPN, and Fox has the Saturday game, which starts at 12:10 p.m. Central Time, which is pretty normal for.
Yeah, that's like I think they're 5 hours ahead of us here. So,
man, that 9:10. Ugh, I'm not looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Speaking of upcoming things, make sure if you haven't yet, go over to Yankees.com or MLB.com or whatever and vote for the All-Star game.
Yeah, let's get Gio at third base. Let's get DJ.
Hey, Gio is like second place right now, which is surprising.
Yeah. He's making a big push. I was surprised Luke is like running away with first base. Yeah,
well, like we said, he's the deer of New York right now. Everybody loves him.
Yeah, we got to get Gary, though. Gary and Gio and DJ all in.
I mean, the only other person I could think that really has earned it would be maybe Torres. Maybe. He's been kind of cold lately, though.
Only if we're playing the fucking Orioles.
It's always Glaber Day when we're playing the Orioles. And we've only got one more series with the Orioles.
Hell, he's got 10 home runs. I think 10 of his 14 home runs were against the Orioles.
Yep. Yeah, we've got one more series with the Orioles. That's crazy because we play them every freaking day, it seems like. I sent it last night to Josh, but here's our remaining series for the Yankees. We got the White Sox. We got the Rays 4 times. The Astros, the Blue Jays 5 times. The Red Sox 4 more times.
Damn.
Well, we've only played the Blue Jays that one series.
Yeah,
we got the Red Sox 4 more times, the Mets 1 more time. I think that's July 4th weekend.
That'll be a shitty
field, if you will. We've got the Rockies, the Twins, the D-backs. That'll be in New York since we already went there. The O's 1 more time, the Indians, the A's twice, the Dodgers, the Mariners, the Rangers twice. Detroit 1 more time and the Angels 1 more time, which that'll be in New York because we already went there.
So we don't play the Mariners anymore?
One more time. Yeah.
Well, not one more time. Okay. Yeah.
They were in between the Dodgers and the Rangers.
I'm kind of surprised we're playing the Dodgers. Is that in LA or is that
I'm
New
not
York?
Sure. Let me look real quick. I mean, I think that's kind of like their kind of crosstown rivalry thing that they like to continue throughout the year.
Yeah.
Like your closer rivals.
I mean, that could be a potential World Series right there. Maybe,
a little preview ski.
Yeah, a little preview ski.
It's in New York, too. Oh, no. It's at Dodger Stadium. I'm sorry.
Oh.
So, that'll be that West Coast trip where we hit Oakland and Seattle. And then Oakland, after that West Coast series, we come back to New York. We get a day off. The 29th, and then the 30th of August, Oakland comes to town.
Little side note here, the Rockies and Cubs are playing right now, and they're playing hit each other, so we got the benches clear.
Oh, nice.
Now.
That's always fun. I was watching it, and I turned it off because I didn't feel like the Rockies were giving any competition.
Oh, they're not. The Cubs are up 10-0, but they're still playing. Let's just plunk one another.
The worst part of last night's game, before we go, was the fact that I sat there and just watched the whole game thinking, okay, somebody's going to have a big hit. We're coming back.
I fell asleep. I'm not going to even lie. I fell asleep watching it.
Yeah, I mean, it was a long day, though, to watch 2 games.
It was just brutal watching the fucking Mets ass hammer us, as Robert would say.
He likes that phrase. But,
I mean, it don't get much worse than that.
It do not. But like Josh said, go over to our Twitter page and click the pinned link and go buy yourself some merch.
Yeah, we got everything.
Let's see. Oh, big news. Obviously, this won't be on the new channel until Apple Podcasts gets their shit together. So hopefully next week will be the beginning of the Out of the Bullpen podcast exclusive channel, which you'll have to resubscribe to and all that stuff, but I'm sure you guys don't mind. But I did everything I could this week. I had to resubmit it for approval, so I'm just waiting now on that. So hopefully next week it'll be on its own channel. But I have started to add the past episodes to that channel. It's already on Google Podcasts, Spotify, basically everywhere else but Apple and iTunes. So eventually it will get there. It just takes time. That was the hardest one to get Hills and Quads on. It took us like a month and a half. I actually had to email Apple to get them to approve it because Anchor was just not doing their job. They've gotten a lot better at that here lately.
Yeah.
So once again, follow the show at Out of the Bullpen. Go follow us on Twitter. If you don't follow us on Twitter,
we're so
out
close.
Of the pen
we're
pod,
so close.
I think we're at what, 74?
We're 78.
We're like 22 away from 100. Yeah. If we can get that next week, we'll do a Q&A episode. And you can ask us anything from baseball to personal.
Life.
How big's Batista's dick? Anything you want to know.
Or Luke Voigt. Yeah. All the girls like that.
Yeah, he's probably got a hog on him. That's all I'm going to say. But yeah, ask us anything you want. It'll be fun. It'll be a more laid-back episode, which pretty much all of our episodes are laid-back, but it'll be fun. So follow the show at Out of the Bullpen, or Out of the Pen Pod. I'm never going to get that right. Out of the Pen Pod on Twitter. Follow me at Mr. Tommy Walter on Twitter.
Follow me at Mr. 30-something
on
Twitter.
Follow Robert's nasty ass at Robert Lemons on Twitter.
And though he'll never reply to you because he never gets on fucking Twitter.
Once in a blue moon he'll get on. Not very often, but
I've tagged him in a bunch of baseball shit and he never
He'll
replies.
Get a wild hair in his ass and he'll get on Twitter for a bit. It's funny though when he goes on starts to get mouthy, it gets pretty funny.
Well, he needs to get on one thing because I need to witness this.
All right, so yeah, do all that and tune in next week. Hopefully, we'll be on our own channel. We'll let you know in advance though if it will be on, like when it does get accepted to Apple, which is where everybody listens pretty much, because nobody likes Android, except for my wife. But so yeah, we'll let you know on Twitter when that goes live, and we'll have all the past episodes, and then for the future episodes, we'll be there as well. All right, talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.